Good morning, everybody. What a joy it is to see each and every one of you out. And the Lord has blessed us with the privilege to share. And I want to share a message here in the Word. And kind of sharing a little bit on here on the conversion of Saul before he became Paul. But at the same time, I want us to see Christ in a living revelation of who he is. Let us see Christ in the teachings of his word, because it's all about the living Christ. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for saving us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for each and every one. And we just ask your blessing. And we pray that you'll open our eyes and our ears, and we would see Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, each and every one of us. And may you be glorified. And we'll give you the praise, because we ask it all in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and in the book of Acts, chapter 9, I just want to read a few scriptures here. It says, now Saul was threatening, and he was still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, and went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he couldn't see nothing. Leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now therefore a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him, that he might regain his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on thy name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. The living one, I want to say, I have a verse that I'd like to read too. In Revelation 1:18, it says, and the living one, and I was dead and alive, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. The living one. Okay, so that's an interesting verse there. It's all about the living Lord Jesus. And it was John got a vision of the living one, and God revealed himself through the person of Jesus. What I want to say here in verse 2,
was a threat to his own religion.
If you see in verse 2 here, 9-2, I'm sorry. It says that he found anyone belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul was persecuting the church. Saul was consenting to the murder of Christians. And Saul, he was in the Jewish religion. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was zealous for his cause, but he didn't understand and he didn't know the Lord, and he was out to do harm to the church, the Lord's people, the disciples and all of them. I want to say that the way is Jesus. The way is Jesus, because he is the way to heaven. He had a problem with these people of the way. And I see Jesus here. I hope you do, about the way. He belonged to the way. And it's what the Lord has allowed me to see here. And a light from heaven flashed around him. I believe the light was Christ, because Christ revealed himself as the living Lord Jesus and look into a person in need, and he come to meet that need, and he does the same for us. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verifying about the way. That's what he needed. He needed the way, the truth, and life. And he found, the Lord allowed him to find it. And I want to say that the way speaks of a journey. I looked it up. In Acts 18:25, the way speaks of a journey or a highway. And it speaks of, let me say, we're in Christ and we're in the way and we're in him and he's in us, and we're traveling in this life and we're on a journey. We ain't home yet and we're headed home. And then we walk the highway of life, but the highway is the straight and narrow way, the way that leads home, which would be in Christ. In Acts 19:9, it speaks of the way. Again, Acts 19:9, and Acts 22:4, I persecuted this way. Acts 22:4. He was persecuting the cause of Christ. He was against Christ, but God opened his eyes. He blinded him. And verse 3, the light was Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:8-9, the Bible says, and last of all, as it were to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But Paul, seeing himself as the least of all the apostles, he realized that it wasn't about him and what he was doing. It's about Christ, what he's doing. And that's the way it is with us. We're to see Christ as our all in all. We're to see Christ as the all-sufficient one, the one that existed from eternity, and the Ancient of Days. He is the Lord of the living, not of the dead, thank God. But he was called an apostle, and he persecuted the church of God. In verse 6 we see, he must suffer for my name. It says here, but rise and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. God calls us in his way of life. It's not always easy. Sometimes we'll suffer, whether it be persecution, whether it be something he's allowing. We don't know what a day may bring forth, but we do know he's in control. Once we trust him, we can rely upon him. We can know it's all well. It's all well because we've come to him in obedience, but yet he brought us to himself and revealed himself to us that we was in need, and he fixed us. You know, man can't fix himself, but he needs God. And let me say, Paul preached, I want to say, the grace of God. That's what he was preaching. He was under the Jewish religion, trying to work and do all the things that was required, but that wasn't enough. And it's just like Martin Luther, you may have heard of him. He was under all these ordinances and all these things, but yet one day he found out that it was by grace alone. He needed the person of grace, which is the Lord Jesus, and he seen Christ as the solution to his problem, and he accepted Christ. God changed his heart. And this is what happened. Saul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a devout Jew, religious Jew, but God changed his heart. Religion will leave you alone. It'll leave you hopeless without Christ. But with Christ, he'll make all the difference. The Lord opened his eyes. Before he was blinded like we were, the Lord opened his eyes before he was blinded like we were before we were saved. The Lord did a miraculous work on Saul because he was blind and he needed God to open his eyes, and he turned him around. He's going one way, but he turned him around, he's going the other way. See, he's preaching Christ. That's what happened. He got saved. The Lord made the difference. He was dragging people off and putting them in prison in a Jewish religion. He thought he was doing what he should be doing. But in verse 15, it says here, I believe, he was a chosen instrument of God. God chose Saul. And he had this planned out from eternity past. Aren't you glad? Even us that have come to Christ, he shows us an eternity past. He had his mind on us. He cared enough to also provide the sacrifice, and that's Jesus. And yet he was thinking of us. He had us on his mind, and as well as he still does. In Galatians 1:11-12, it says, "For I would have you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." He was the chosen instrument of Christ. So Christ revealed himself to Paul. And that's what he has to do. He reveals himself to people that they might understand that it has to take a revelation of Christ. He has to find you. And then you say, "I found him." You see, it's so good. We fall in after what he's already thought about before, because he's at work. For a person to come to know Christ, they have to... they realize that God was already working after they find out they were saved, after they get saved, because God, for a person to be saved, God has to be already beginning a work. And that's the word the Lord says for Paul, I think it is, "He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So he begins the good work, and he gives you strength under the grace of God to live each day. And God is our sufficiency. In verse 16, for I would show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. And I say we are called to suffer likewise. Paul went through a lot. He was, his own people, the Jews, rejected him. He came into his own like Jesus, and his own received him not. He was first in the Jewish religion, going and doing all those things that the Jews do. But yet, as long as he was doing what they agreed with and was doing the things, they were all with him. But when you get a change of heart, a change of life, people just tend to think, "Wow, what's wrong with you?" They got to step away and go the other way. They don't want to hang around you if they realize that they don't have something in common with you. And this is the thing about people that you hang around with. We want to hang around with the people of God. We don't say we can't go visit somebody that don't know the Lord. Well, Jesus visited the sinners. But he had a high and a holy purpose. It was much higher, and he had a desire to reach them because he was coming from the heart. And Paul, God broke Paul, or Saul. He broke him, and of course this later changed to Saul, but he humbled him. He brought him down, and he fell down. And he raised him up, just like us. So, you know, it's God at work. It's God doing what he would do. And I want to say there's seven things I want you to think about. In Acts 9:4 through 6, he receives a divine revelation. So we see God revealing himself to him. The second thing we see, he was filled with a desire to obey the Lord and do his will. Acts 9:6. He was filled with a desire to obey the Lord. See, the Lord calls us. He brings about your obedience. Because only he can empower you. And you'll count it a joy. And it's out of being grateful that you say, "Hear my Lord." You surrender and you go after the Lord. Because he saves you. He brings you to himself. And he's taking you. And he's helping you every day. We're helpless without him. And he works his will out in us, and all we got to do is agree. But he supplies the strength. Then in Acts, the third thing I see, he began to pray. Acts 9:11. The last part, the last three words in Acts 9:11 says he is praying. The Lord had a talk with him. But also we see him talking to the Lord. Personal. And that's what the Lord's doing. He wants to have a personal talk with us. And prayer is just talking to God. Isn't it good that you can fellowship with the Creator of the universe and that we can just be relaxed. We can rest in him. And it's awesome because, hey, until you know him, you probably didn't talk to him too much. But after you get to know him, he bids you to come. He wants to talk to us, and that's how he's talking to us, right from the Word. So, that's interesting. But then, four, he was baptized. Not only did he pray, trusted the Lord, but he was baptized. He went further. He didn't just say, "Well, I know the Lord," like some people say, so many people say they're a Christian. But the thing of it is, do you really know him inside? Christian is Christ at work in you first. It's not what you're trying to do to bring. It's not what you're going to do to save yourself. It's what he does because we need him and we're helpless. Okay? And then we find in the fifth thing, he was united in fellowship with God's people. Acts 9:19. And he took food and was strengthened. Okay? He received the word. I mean, that's what we're to do. Receive him. And then allow him to strengthen us. Because we're weak. He gives us our strength. He began to testify powerfully. Acts 9:20. It says he was testifying. Well, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. This is Saul now. He is the Son of God. See, he knew him. He had an experience with him, and he was proclaiming him. Okay? And this is what we're to do. Be ready always to answer the reason of hope that's within us. And don't be timid about it, but trust him. If you're having some problems, and maybe you don't, you think it ain't me, what can I do? Just say, "Here am I, Lord. What can you do?" As I know he can do wonderful things, and it's about what he's doing. Okay? Because he, and then I want to say the last thing here, he grew in grace. Acts 9:22. Okay? He grew in the person of Christ, the favor of God. Verse 22, and Saul kept increasing in strength and confounded the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Okay? He grew in grace. Okay? He was growing in Christ. And another thing I want to say is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, or 2:18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So this is what God's desire is, for us to grow in grace. It's the favor of God. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful person He is. Amazing. And grace, you say, what is grace? Someone said, and I believe it, grace is Christ's riches at God's expense. I think I said that right. Christ's riches at God's expense. Five little letters. But it's God working in us. It's the favor of God. We can't earn it. It was through the merits of Jesus that He offered Himself as a gift. And the conversion of Paul, it led to an exchange life. I want to say that. I didn't read it all here, but Paul was, the conversion comes from the word like the convert. He was converted. He was changed by the power of the living Lord. And it led to an exchange life. What he done is he did no longer live after his will, but he lived to do the Father's will. He was living in a life from above, a so much better life. And this is what happens when we trust Christ, that we don't see things like we once did. We see it the way He says. We get His mind and His heart. It's a change from religion to Christianity. Really, I looked it up a little bit, some comments on it, and they said it was changed from being religious to a Christian religion. But I like to think Christianity is all about the person of Christ, and it's a living person. Okay? A living God that is working. And from a dead religion to a living relationship. From a dead religion. Paul was in the Jewish religion, and there was no life apart from Christ. Until he comes to Christ, then by the free gift of the grace of God, he responds. And the Lord changes him and brings him into a relationship where they can share one with another. He can share, and he preached Christ. Another thing I wanted to say is, he boldly proclaimed Christ. Right here it is. In two different verses. In the 27th verse, and Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostle and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He wasn't afraid. He stood up there and said, I'm trusting. It's like, I'm trusting you, Lord. And I'm going to proclaim it. I spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. And then also, verse 28, the next verse. This is Acts chapter 9 and verse 28. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. Here we see it's used two times. And usually in Scripture, if you see something that it says it two different times, it's written in there for us to, hey, you see that? This man's boldly proclaiming. And this is the thing. It's time to us for us to boldly speak out for the Lord. We don't know what's coming in the days we're living. We don't know what's going to happen. If ain't one thing, it's another. Things are going on. But the world's still turning. Jesus is alive. God is alive. Hey, and we're alive. And we're not dead yet. But thank God, I don't look forward to death. I look forward to the time that I'll enter into His presence. I'm looking for Jesus. I think you all are too. And I will say, if you've never trusted Jesus, well, you do well to trust Him. Because He calls us to Himself. He loves us so much that he didn't want to count you out. And he didn't want to exclude you. And he is for us. And that's why he died for all men. He didn't die for a select few. He died for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And he paid the sin debt in full. But then it's up to us to say yes to Jesus, to realize we need peace. Something's going on. Something ain't working right. You know how it is when you wouldn't say you're missing something. That's how I was. I was involved in a lot of things. It's like I'm going one way. And then I can say here, same thing happened to Paul, but I was lost. But now I'm saved. And I have a reason to live because he lives in me. And not only that, I'm looking to see him. One day, I'm going to go to be with him and you too. But my hope is in Christ. What does it say? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. You know, he's without sin. And he sees us, that we that trusted him, without sin. That's his view, God's view, through his Savior, the Son, only begotten. He sees us clean, pure, and we're dressed in his righteousness. And his righteousness alone. It's his working. It's his grace. It's his power. And thank God that for what he's offered us. I'm thankful. And there's much more to be said but about this conversion. But Paul, he was changed. And he got an exchanged life. It's an exchanged life. What do we mean by that? That you give up your life, you just come and say, forgive me, save me. You ain't nothing you could do. Your life ain't been working very good. But he's going to give you spiritual life. And that springs up into like a well of everlasting life. That's what it is. It's eternal. It's a promise that everything's well. Ain't nothing like being saved and ready to go if God calls your number. So I'm not really worried about it. I'm hoping he'll come for me while I'm living. But if he don't, I do know that it'll be well with my soul. Because the moment you die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So it'll happen, and it's his promise, and he don't fail. He'll keep his promise, and it's based on his grace and what he did on the cross. He loves you dearly. And I think I said what I wanted to say here, Lord willing. I just want to tell you that God raised Saul, and he began to preach Christ. I don't know what he has for you, but all you can do is say, what do you got, Lord? Is there something you want me to do? Well, the best thing to do is say, I'm available. Hey, it might be to where some people might want to hold back and think, well, I'm not sure if I want to tell him that. I'll take his word, I'll read it, and follow, and try to, and I'll learn, but I'm not sure if I'm willing to, I don't know what's involved. It could be scary if you think it that way, but if you trust him, you'll leap from fear to faith, and you can rely upon him. He'll be faithful, and he will supply your need, and he'll raise you up. And he'll take away the fear, because a lot of people are living in fear, and they've been overcome by fear. But the only way you can get out of the fear state is to trust Jesus. Step out. Step out and then share. Share. Be ready to offer the reason of hope. Share it with others if the Lord leads you to. Just wait and trust him. And he'll supply your need. I think that's what I had to share today. But I want to thank you for allowing me to share from the Word. And Father, we want to thank you for what you have here. And it's a reality. And it's all good. We thank you for the saving grace of the Lord. And we thank you for everyone that's came. And may you bless them this day. And cause us all to continue to walk with you. And Lord, we pray for whoever it would be. That really is still
not changed. We pray for them to be changed. But we put it in your hands because we can't change them, but we just give the everything to you, and then, Lord, we'll trust you. So thank you for allowing me to share, and bless this day and everything we ask. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen.